Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hi there, I'm Rebecca Lowe. Welcome along to the latest edition of the Premier League on NBC podcast, where you can get the latest, can't-miss content from NBC's coverage of one of the best leagues in the world. Be sure to tune in on weekends at 7 a.m. Eastern for Premier League mornings on NBCSN and Peacock Premium. But for now, we hope you enjoy the latest edition of the Premier League on NBC podcast.
Chance of USA on the road there for the fans from Norwich who made the trip. Back in August, Josh Sargent, the 21-year-old, signing a four-year deal at Norwich, hadn't scored a goal in the Premier League until today, scores two of them for a very happy Dean Smith, who becomes the first Norwich manager to win back-to-back Premier League games since Alex Neil in 2016. How about that? Lights are on in studio here. Ahmed Farid, Robbie Musto, and Tim Howard. That game did not go the way we thought it was going to go. Gosh. We talked about Watford having the advantage, playing at home. They're very desperate in this one. Was that the last game? We'll get to Josh Sargent in just a second here. But was that the last game we've seen for Ranieri leading
the team? I would think so. I would think so. Given what this club does, given the performance of Claudio Ranieri, granted, initially some tough matches, but not recently. And for them to drop into the bottom three with plenty of games left, and still, of course, Watford have got a chance of avoiding relegation with the games they've got. They've got new players. I would expect a new manager very shortly at Watford.
Just a disappointing performance all around for them.
Yeah, and when you talk about Ranieri, it's also the fashion in which they lost, Musty. No clean sheets still this season. The frustration between the forwards, King, João Pedro, Dennis yelling at each other. You know, throwing their hands up, dropping into the bottom three, taking a heavy defeat, fans walking out, the owners there to witness it. This just doesn't
feel
good.
Defensive nightmares.
Yeah.
A red card chucked in there, yeah. An own goal chucked in there from the substitute that came
Messy
on.
Messy and chaotic.
I mean, disaster. Mm. Absolute disaster in a game that we talked about was massive for both clubs. And we both felt that Watford had the advantage, given, you know, the front players, if they have scored goals this season, Norwich's haven't really. Mm. And Josh Sargent just lights the place up in a day in a game that he will remember for as long as he lives.
Mm. What do you make of Sargent, the 21-year-old?
Well, I mean, it was his show today. Look, I'm happy for him. He works hard. He works his socks off. He's always a willing runner. The effort's there. Look, he plays in a team that has no forward continuity, so he's not going to get a ton of chances. Today he took those. Well done to him.
The chance of USA. Haven't heard that very often.
Well, we sometimes get it in England. Every once in a while. And Pulisic's done well, and we've had it before. So it's great. Great for him. He's 21. Yeah. He's still young. He's learning the game. It's a great point. He's in a team that's struggling. He's not going to get much action. I love the way, by the way, he plays on the right-hand side of midfield, and he gets up and down, and he helps his fullback out. And he took his chances. I mean, they're not easy goals to score, both with the header and the clever flick. We'll take a look in a minute. But that's a clever, clever finish. Well done.
Chanting USA at Vicarage Road, probably chanting the same things in O'Fallon, Missouri for the 21-year-old Josh Sargent, who's talking after the match.
Congratulations, out the relegation zone for the first time this season. How huge were those 3 points tonight?
Yeah, I mean, this is probably one of the biggest games of our season, obviously, and to get those 3 points are huge.
You haven't scored in 18 Premier League games before today. You waited for an important game to find your scoring boots, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, definitely good to get the goals out of the way, and hopefully there's more to come.
Psychologically, how much of an impact does it have knowing that you're no longer in the bottom three? And do you believe you can stay up this season?
Yeah, I gives, you know, not only our team, but obviously the fans a huge boost of confidence, and, you know, we're looking forward to the next games.
How key was the win against Everton last weekend? Could that have been a turning point in your season?
When you're in the bottom three, obviously every game is huge, so to get 2 wins in a row is massive for the club.
A clean sheet as well for Angus Gunn. Listen to this fun fact: the last time Norwich won here at Vicarage Road, his dad was in goal. But he did really well, didn't he, with Tim Krul out today?
Yeah, I'm very proud of him to get the clean sheet, and proud of the whole team for fighting the whole game.
And how important is it that you can get a result against Crystal Palace? That's your next match, considering it's Manchester City and then Liverpool after that. Give them a wave, There we go.
Obviously, 6 points is huge from 2 games, you know. And like I said, we're going to try to take this confidence into the next game.
The fans are celebrating as if you've stayed up already. Do you have a message for your fans? They've been absolutely unbelievable tonight.
Yeah, they're amazing tonight. They're amazing every game. And we're going to continue to need their support for the next one. So.
My final question for you: how did the light situation affect you? Has that ever happened to you before, playing professional football?
No, it hasn't. But obviously, we had to play on and everything was fine. So it was good.
Congratulations. Well done today. A game to remember.
What about Dean Smith, right, and the job that he has done? Because this is the team that came in conceding the most goals in the Premier League, scoring the fewest goals, but now he's got back-to-back wins with him.
Well, Musty said at halftime that they didn't play well, but Dean Smith gives them a chance to stay in games, and it looks different than Daniel Farke's teams. As you mentioned, Musty, they're expansive, and they might actually concede goals and be down. It looks a little ugly at times, but they're giving themselves a chance to stay in the game. They have a backup goalkeeper, and they end up keeping a clean sheet. Why? Because they're not taking a ton of risks at the back. They're defending with numbers and then not getting a lot of opportunities, but hoping to take one. And it looks good, and I like the setup that he has.
We started the day, you guys did, by saying that you think Norwich are going to eventually go down. You think Watford was going to go down. I think both of you agreed with that. Newcastle was going to be safe. So what do we think after now we've seen Norwich pull off 6 points in a couple games?
It's terrible. I feel bad saying it, but I still think Norwich will get relegated based on what we're seeing. And I totally want to give all the credit in the world to Dean Smith. I mean, he is making a job of this where nobody thought they could get anywhere near safety. He's got them outside that relegation zone right now. Of course, we know there's games to be played by other teams. And again, you've got to look at it of what you're seeing. And they won today. And Josh Sargent scores a couple of brilliant goals. It's an own goal. I just don't know whether they're going to win enough games to stay out of that bottom three. But they're making a fist of it, and that credit goes to Dean Smith and, of course, the players and Sargent and everybody else that's stepping up to the plate with this new manager and is doing a remarkable job right now.
You still think they go down?
I think they go down. You know, Burnley are the ones for me because they have the games in hand, which scare me a little bit because I'm so used to Burnley. We're so used to Burnley coming good at some point. You know, can they? There's not much time in the window. I know they've been doing work. Can they replace Chris Wood? We'll see.
Seems like there are four for the three spots there: Norwich, Watford, Newcastle, Burnley. I keep trying to rope you guys in,
well, you keep
putting Everton into the discussion. Everton currently with 19 points total. That's just three more than Norwich. No, you're not buying it.
I know what you're saying, and they are close to the area. I just think now that Dominic Calvert-Lewin is back and there's been a manager change and things, Big Dunk's going to get them fired up. We'll watch tomorrow morning with great, you know, anticipation on that. I just think Everton have got too many good players to stay down there. I think they'll fight their way out of it. I think it will be the four that are in those spots right now, three of those four.
Do I think that Everton are getting sucked into a relegation battle? Yes. Do I ultimately think they'll be safe? Because do I think, at least for the short term, will Duncan Ferguson get them fighting, winning football matches? Yeah, they'll pick up points. But make no mistake, they're right in it now because of how poor they've been over the course of the season.
All right, big picture for Watford here. And they make no bones about changing their manager when times get tough. Do you feel like that's starting to bite them a little bit, the lack of continuity throughout every one of these seasons in changing managers so often?
I remember really clearly when Cisco Munoz was fired. I walked into the studio. I think Rebecca was working, and the news was out there. After 7 games, he got 7 points. I think they were 14th place in the Premier League table. And we know that he was loved by the players for what he did in terms of getting promoted. The fans loved him. He had that warm personality, not super experienced as a manager, and that must have been one of the reasons they made the change. He wanted an experienced Premier League manager to take over. It doesn't look very good now, does it? Mm-hmm. And I thought at the time it was a strange, almost a joke decision to fire a guy that's still high on euphoria from promotion. They were doing okay. They were, you know, and look how it's ended up so far. So whether they stick with Claudio Ranieri, I'll be absolutely amazed if they do, given the disaster that was in a key game. Mm-hmm. And Gino Pozzo was there to see that. Who they go for next, who knows? Mm. Could be Munoz again. Who knows with these owners? They could get anybody.
Look, I don't like the way Watford Football Club is run, simply put. This isn't about Claudio Ranieri. Musty just there articulated it. Munoz gets sacked when he's 14th. Allow your manager to have time to invest in a squad, to trust him. They were playing good football. As you said, players, fans loved him. There was no reason in the world to sack Munoz. So, like, the way that this club is run is a bit of a joke because you can't just change your manager.
The only thing, Tim, it has worked in the past when they've stayed in the Premier League for four or five seasons or whatever it was. And again, a lot of people don't like it. Mm-hmm. And it's the way that he does things. And also the players, the amount of players that come into the club. I mean, that squad is massive, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's a very big, mm-hmm. big squad. Throw the players at it to try and find something that works. Struggling right now.
Claudio, a really disappointing night for Watford. Where did this game get away from you?
Look, before everything, I want to say sorry to our crowd because we wanted to do another kind of a match. We wanted to lit the fire to our fans, and we didn't do this. And then after, yes, okay, the first half was a little good, but after the first goal, we got down. We didn't understand what happened. And at the end, they deserved to win. Maybe we played better, 10-11, but it's not possible to lose this kind of a match.
You were the better team in the first half. Was that the opportunity to take this game by the scruff of the neck, do you feel?
Yes, we had some opportunity to score goals. But after, okay, the first goal was an episode, very strange. They score a goal. But after, we have all the time to do something better. And we didn't do this.
Should Norwich's first goal have stood? You seem to feel there was a push on your defender, Samir, at the time.
Yes, maybe he's used to play in Italy. In Italy, this kind of fall, the referee whistle. But in England, sometimes yes, sometimes no. Now is a big opportunity for him to understand the Premier League. Is it different?
What were your thoughts on the floodlight failure? The referee asked both teams to continue. Were you happy to do so?
Yes, I wanted to continue. I speak also with my captain. There were also the other captain. And we wanted to continue. On the pitch, the ball was clear to see.
You're in the bottom three. Watford are in the bottom three for the first time this season. Yeah. Just how big a setback is that psychologically, do you feel?
But look, psychologically, I hope that we had to react. We had to react because it's not possible. When we are desperate, we react well. Now is the right moment to react.
You know this club's track record for changing managers. Yeah. What concern do you have here and now for your own position?
Look, I'm speaking every day with the board and we are all together.
How convinced are you, given your own track record, given your own experience, how convinced are you here and now that you can pull this club away from trouble?
I am very convinced. I am very convinced. Also, some players are convinced and fight, and now I have to choose only the players who want to fight. No more players who want to just take the ball and nothing more.
How can you change things? Because you haven't won now in the Premier League since November, since the Manchester United game. How do you change things?
We have to change the mentality, first of all. The mentality, and we have to play as a squad, not as individual. No players can win alone. What the Norwich did tonight, they played 11 as a squad. We didn't do.
Carl, appreciate your time. Claudio, thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Goals for quite a lot of the afternoon, and then it all sprung to life, not least Tim Howard at Old Trafford, right at the end. I mean, I think there was sort of 3 seconds left. Yeah. We've seen late drama in midweek with the Spurs-Leicester game, late drama, Old Trafford and Marcus Rashford. How important for United now in the top four?
I mean, it's huge, and it's big for Marcus Rashford. He comes on, scores the last game, and then scores again. He's got 2-2. He's been heavily criticized. He does so much off the pitch, and people think, is his head turned? He's a good footballer. He's a good kid. It's really nice to see him flourish. Well done, Ralf Rangnick. I mean, you talk about putting the whole Ronaldo stuff to bed, making him happy again, not taking him off. I think Martial, there was obviously a bit of controversy there with Rangnick and Martial, gives him an opportunity to come on and change the pace of the game. Well done to the manager.
The substitutions were good, and the goal was coming.
The goal was coming, and the performance was good. Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing. I'm sure United fans wanted and needed to win that game and score that goal because it was good. Good tempo, good pressing. West Ham couldn't find a way past some of that pressing from Manchester United. A team performance, Rebecca. A team performance. Attackers helping out defensively. Mason Greenwood at one point came all the way back and helped out the defending players. That's what the manager's been trying to do. And I thought we saw that. Plus, of course, developing into, again, attacking options off the bench, doing the business. That's, I tell you, a feel-good factor can come back pretty quickly to Old Trafford.
And the psychological impact of being inside the top four and then having Marcus Rashford come on again and score. How important is that, Rob?
It's really important. I mean, I've criticised Rashford. I'm like, come on, you know, it's about time. You should be more consistent now. I just enjoyed him smiling. You don't often see that. He gets the goal, good atmosphere in there. But I tell you, it was a really impressive, high-tempo Manchester United.
Hard-fought victory for Ralf Rangnick's men against West Ham United. So 1-1 then, the final score at St Mary's. Two draws for Southampton against the defending champions so far this season. When they want to, Southampton have it in the locker, Robbie.
They do. I mean, that's twice now. Two draws against Man City. A tremendous defensive performance. You know, they got their goal, a brilliant goal, individual goal, really, from Walker Peters, the way that he managed to find that far corner. And City kind of wasted that first half. And the Raheem Sterling chance, even though there's plenty of time to go, I think it's costly. You know, he scores that goal, which he should totally score that goal. Things may be a little bit different. City really take control and can take their time finding a way through. But he just felt in the second half that Southampton are going to hold on. Salisu defensively was great. Walker Peters, not just his goal, but defensive prowess on that side as well was very, very good. A simple shape from Southampton that did the trick.
Well, that chance you talk about from Raheem Sterling, we'll show you in the full-time highlights. It came just before the break and it was taken so casually and ultimately he missed it. But we talked about it before the game, Tim. You know, they're human beings. They can't be at the top level every week.
Well, they can't be. And we saw they were slightly human today. I mean, they still played incredible football. Look, I think it's great. I think it's great for the title race. You know, Liverpool have two games in hand. That's a really good thing. If they win, it's almost back on in a way. And so these moments for the Premier League are good to see that Manchester City can be gotten at on the right day.
And also, you're right, against anybody. Yeah. I mean, with all due respect to Southampton, they've got points off them. And Palace beat them earlier 3-0, wasn't it, in the league? So, and Spurs, I think, and Liverpool take points off them as well just this season. But so it's funny, when they're not on, you know, wherever they play, got a chance.
So, as Tim says, the title race back on. They're 6 points behind. So, if they get they're 12 points behind, two games in hand. If they win those two games, it goes to 6 points. Mm-hmm. They've got to play each other. Could go to 3 points.
Yep. Game on.
I think we've got a title race.
There it is.
On the gantry at St Mary's, Graham Lassow and Arlo White. Gentlemen, they may be, I think it is 12 points ahead, but don't worry, we have done the maths for you. The title race is officially, it's back on, Arlo.
Absolutely on. That is the headline, Rebecca, without a shadow of a doubt. Up to Liverpool at Palace tomorrow to close the gap a little bit. This was terrific to watch, wasn't it? We talked before the game about Southampton going back to that 4-4-2 that got them a point in September at the Etihad. And you'll talk about how they go about it today. How impressed were you with them?
Oh, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Their game plan worked perfectly. Not just because I said that should be their game plan. But I'm really impressed with Hasenhüttl because he's, you know, he's suffered some big defeats. You mentioned that in commentary. He's working with a squad that's evolving. You're bringing in sort of players that aren't tried and untested. Broja being a good example. That's Salisu. And he's getting the best out of them. They all understand their jobs. And it's whether they can put that level of performance in both tactically, technically and physically, you know, and mentally as well, to keep going and to keep playing like that. Because if they carry on playing like that, they'll keep picking up lots of points and end up, I think, within the top 10 this season.
Is it fair to criticise Pep Guardiola and Manchester City because of the standards that they've set?
I don't think so. They're a joy to watch, Manchester City, and their quality, the way they play the game. You know, they had just, you know, completely dominate every area of the pitch, don't they? I think they came up against a really resilient Southampton team today. But I think the things, if you're going to be hypercritical, Sterling's chance in the first half, and they just couldn't quite get that goal that would have given them the lead. But I think you've got to go back to Southampton and say credit to them. It was one of those days where they thoroughly deserved to get a point from that game.
And Salisu, Rebecca, was absolutely immense.
Guys, well played. It was cheered like a win at full time. It very nearly was a win, but still a fantastic evening and a great result.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that's now I'm beating in 8 home games. So it's just good, you know, when we've got the fans behind us, you know, they're driving us. And when we stay as a team like that, like we performed today, then we can just, you know, we can do a lot. So the boys dug deep today. We stayed strong. We stayed together and we got a good result. So, at the end of the day, we're happy. So,
Kyle, your first Premier League goal, and it was said on commentary, taken like a 30 goal a season striker. And it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't a bad finish, was it? We do a lot of finishing in training. I practice as much as I can, and finally I've got my first Premier League goal, so yeah, I'm happy.
Do you want to talk us through it then?
Love the touch?
Or bounce it up for yourself and then...
I'll be totally honest.
What are you thinking?
I think it was Diaz. I'm thinking he's coming to press me, so I'm almost stretching as I finish, and I use the outside of my foot because that's where the ball bounced for me, and luckily I hit it sweetly.
I mean, it's kind of the dream for all of us, isn't it, to score in the Premier League one day. You've got to the Premier League, you've had to wait, you know, while you've played your games. What is the emotion like? What is the feeling like to actually do it?
Oh, it's you can't describe it. A great feeling and really nice to be at home, you know, with the fans.
And it's such a big game as well.
Yeah, exactly, against, you know, one of the top teams in the world. You know, you always want to try and compete against them, and I think we did today, and yeah, I'm just really happy to get the goal.
Amanda, on a few occasions you so nearly made it too. Yep. We were talking off camera the number of incidents, the number of chances you were involved in. You want to take us through some of them?
Yeah, I thought a little bit unlucky on some of them. I mean, the offside goal obviously, and
did you think you'd scored?
I thought so. I was obviously looking at the line when I made my run, and I thought I was just onside, but I think it was just a few yards, I think, or something. Quite small margins, but yeah. Then obviously the penalty shout and visits, but yeah, just tried to get myself in good opportunities. Tried, you know, get myself in good opportunities. Had a few, but I think in games like this, I feel like this is where I learn, you know, like to put them to bed. So it's a good learning experience for me as well. So.
Well, Pep, you said it. We're going to drop points. The winning run won't carry on forever. How do you feel about the point tonight?
Outstanding game. We played really well, and unfortunately, the first action, we conceded a goal, but we made one of the best performances of the season.
Really? That good? You thought it was one of your best performances of the season?
By far.
What makes you say that? What did you like about it?
Everything. Against that team, like defending incredible well, that make a pace in the counter-attack, that they are incredible well organized, that we suffer all the time. Today was one of the best performances we have played against them. If you analyze the result, it's 1-1. Okay? So after that, it was not good. But in the terms of the performance, that we have the duty, you know, the managers to see how we behave, how we played, was excellent.
Was it a performance that improved as it went on, do you think?
We play better, for example, the Arsenal game, and we won, and today we draw. So sometimes football in the Premier League, that's why the league and the consistent in the 38 fixtures, sometimes you deserve it, sometimes don't. But that's why when you finish on top, it's because you deserve it. So it's not the knockout stages in Carabao Cup, or in FA Cup, or Champions League, Europa League, like... bad afternoon, but the way we behaved was excellent.
How much more complicated does it become once you go 1-0 down?
Yeah, more complicated, but the way we react and the way we played, especially the last 20-25 minutes, and in the second half we struggled in the first action in the corner, that were pros, and Eddie making incredible save, the rest was perfect.
was the frustration with the goal you conceded? You had a really good opportunity yourselves, I don't know, like 10, 20 seconds before with Raheem Sterling. And
yeah, but it's football. Sometimes you miss the actions and the passes, and yeah, sometimes it happens.
What was the thinking with the change, Sterling off, Jesus on, seemed to make a difference to the team?
Gabriel played really well. Gabriel came in really well, yeah, all the time. When he came in, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, he had a clear chance to score. Unfortunately, was in the post, and we played really well, really, really well.
How tough an opponent are Southampton? How difficult do they make it for you?
Really good team.
How do they make it difficult for you?
It's well organized and 4-foot-2. They are long balls and the pace and the counter attack. They have a good build up, but we were brilliant in many things today.
So even though you've not won, you feel like the performance was good enough to not cost you any momentum, any belief?
Why should lose the belief what we have done after we play? When we play against, for example, Arsenal, I have more doubts than today. Of course, we will win, but we played to do it, and we're brilliant. So, yeah, I think it was a good performance. I said before, so we are going to drop points. So football, you lose with many, many games, but the way we behave is good. And now we have 2 weeks to prepare the next game. We're going to prepare and continue. Premier League is so difficult. Now, the positive thing is that people is going to tell that the title race is not over, and that is good for our side, because it's not over. It was not over 2 weeks ago. Now it will not be over in 3 weeks. So now it's continue to next game against Brentford, and after Norwich, that they had the momentum, and Champions League start, and after Tottenham at home. So many tough games we have ahead of us, but try to behave how we are until the end.
So do you think that could be useful to you, people not saying, oh, it's done, City's title already?
No, I would like to have 40 points in front of Liverpool and Chelsea. That will be a dream, but it's not possible in January. So this incredible two dinosaurs or incredible teams like they are, so it's normal. So I didn't expect being in this position with that distance. But they are a fantastic teams, and we have to win a lot of games. I said from for many days or weeks ago. So now we just start to rest this week and come back as best as possible.
Was there a couple of decisions that you thought VAR might turn your way? Second half, maybe a penalty for Kevin, a red card challenge potentially shortly after that?
Potentially. It's what it is. I didn't see it.
Okay. Last question. Julian Alvarez, striker from River Plate. We hear you close. Can you tell us anything?
I don't have any info about the club. Anything. No one word. I don't know anything.
Okay. Would you like him?
I don't have any info at the club.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're good.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Liverpool keeping up their end of it. Another victory. 9 points now, a game in hand, and they've got to play each other. I am just carrying on the narrative that the title race is still alive.
It's still alive. And it's another game done without Mane and Mo Salah, of course, away at Africa Cup of Nations. So that's great. I watched the game in the week, motivated, strong. Same again today. Oxlade-Chamberlain stepping up with a goal. There's a few controversial refereeing stuff that we're going to get into in the highlights. But no, Liverpool, well done.
One of the most frustrating things about VAR, and we haven't spoken about it for a while, so I think we're allowed a couple of minutes on VAR, Tim, is that the referee makes a call, and then VAR in his ear are saying, hang on, we need to have a look at it. So then we all wait a couple of minutes, and they're having a look at it, and then they tell him to go to the screen and have a look at it. And you're like, oh, now we've got to wait another minute. Why don't they just tell him to go to the screen straight away and stop wasting all the time?
It's a time for me. I like VAR. I think they get most things right. That's the issue for me. The ones where we're waiting, and if we wait and wait and wait, and then they tell the referee and we can get on with it, fine, either way. But it's the ones where we're seeing quite a lot this week where you're waiting and waiting for VAR. Then the referee has to go over to the monitor, see all the same images that we've been seeing while we're waiting, and then it's taking too long. And in this instance, I think they got both of them wrong.
But hang on a minute. The whole point is it's got to be clear and obvious. Right. It shouldn't take the VAR lots and lots and lots and lots and lots, because we don't want to get a situation where every challenge, by the way, is re-refereed.
Sure.
So it's just there, like, the guy should be there, like, nah, that's about right. On you go.
Yeah.
instead of like, oh, hang on, another angle, another.
You have a look.
Yeah, you can. I mean, it should be clear and obvious. That's
the
whole point.
Some of the slow motion images are making
good point.
Some of these tackles look horrific when in real time, it's two people coming together. It's a foul. It's a yellow card. No problem. We get on with it. And so because they're slowing it down, because they're freeze framing, which I suppose at times you have to do, it's making some challenges look worse.
That's true. So the ref, maybe the new approach from referees, and they're quite good at tweaking things in the close season, needs to be fewer replays as the slow motion, more replays in real time.
I think so. We've seen this weekend where there was a studs up challenge on somebody's thigh. I can't remember which game it was. There's so many games, so many incidents. But I think that was a classic where when you see it live, and the referees, to be fair, Rebecca, most of the time, when they see it live, they get the intensity. Yeah, that's absolutely fine. That's a yellow. Of course, you look at it over and over and over and over again. We saw one today that's like, you know what? You keep looking at it, the studs up and the ankle and everything else, it looks like a red. So, yeah, more replays at real speed, please.
That's our first 2 minutes of VAR in 2022. North Antonio's Antonio Conte's day coming back to Chelsea. Was it Thomas Tuchel celebrating the victory? And if you look at the full match stats, 15 shots and 7 on target for Chelsea to 6 and 3 respectively for Tottenham. More possession, more passes completed and some. Let's get the post-match thoughts of Tottenham's Matt Doherty.
Matt, you're going to be disappointed with the result. Are you disappointed with the performance?
No, I think in the first half tactically we kind of had a game plan and I think we carried that out pretty much first half. I think just the manner of the goals we conceded is what's disappointing the most. Set pieces is a kind of a bread and butter that you think you should be able to manage, but lately we've been conceding a lot of goals from it, so it's a bit of a worry for us.
What was the game plan, if you could tell us a little bit? I mean, did you feel that you were positive enough at times in that game?
No, look, we didn't. We couldn't win the game in the first half, you know. We tried to stay narrow and force them out wide and stop the passes inside us. And look, they had a few half chances, some crosses, some corners and stuff like that, but they didn't really carve us open too much. So at half time, we were pretty content with how things were. And then obviously there was a bit of special finish for the first goal.
One of the big talking points, Matt, was Harry Kane's goal ruled out. Does he feel hard done by for that one?
For sure. I didn't even realise that there was even a suspicion of a foul when the ball went in. I haven't seen it back, actually, so I don't know. You can tell me how did it look.
Well, there was a hand on the back, but Silva's gone down, and that's what it was for.
Well,
for a foul,
I don't even think they were appealing too toughly for it. So, strange, because I heard the linesman actually gave the foul, not the referee. So the referee was standing five yards away. I don't know how the linesman has a better view.
And almost on the exact same blade of grass, Thiago Silva puts them 2-0 up and kind of gave you guys a mountain to climb, but you weren't happy at the free kick being awarded for the foul on Callum Hudson-Odoi.
Yeah, look, obviously we feel it was soft. Like, again, I haven't seen it back. Well, apart from that, we still conceded from a set piece, and look, it's not good enough. We're conceding from too many. I think that's 4 or 5 games now quite recently where we've conceded, and like, it's just cheap sloppy goals that we're giving teams, and it's hard. The Premier League's a tough division, you know. Once you give people goals like that, it's not easy to win games.
Look, it's the first time Antonio Conte's been beaten as Spurs boss in the Premier League, but still so much to play for. I mean, you've still got 4 games in hand on Chelsea. Win those and you could be 4 points ahead of them.
Yeah, look, we've got a long way to go still. We'll have a little break now, rest and recharge, and then just go again and see where it takes us. We feel pretty confident. We like the way we're playing. We feel like we're going in the right direction, so look, it's a big few months for us.
Thank you very much, Matt. Cheers, mate.
Bit disgruntled, Matt Doherty, but I think it's fair to say that the best team won. What's so funny, Graeme Lasso?
He's just laughing at one of his own jokes again, Rebecca. Business as usual, really. Antonio Conte, we were talking before the game and then during the game about his side being set up to kind of contain. Hmm. Did he get it right today?
I think on paper, absolutely. And that first half, as Matt Doherty said there, the game plan worked, and they were always set up to absorb Chelsea and then counterattack. That in itself is a plan, and it's a workable plan. And as long as the players buy into it, and they did, then you've got that chance of executing it. The goal Ziyech's goal was something otherworldly, wasn't it? Really, it was exceptional. Beautiful. And that breaks the deadlock, although Chelsea, the second half, they came out with so much energy and determination that Tottenham couldn't absorb that. And then, as he said again, the set piece you'd be disappointed with, because you always think you should do better if you concede a goal at a set piece. But it was a good ball in. So all in all, I think it shows Tottenham's limitations at present. It plays into Antonio Conte's line about, I need more players. Of course he does. But I don't know a top-level manager that doesn't want more players all the time.
Thomas Tuchel has come under some scrutiny of late. He talks about, you know, the noise around Romelu Lukaku's interview, etc. The form hadn't been good, but they are going to be chasing lots of silverware on different fronts in the months ahead. How impressed were you with them today?
No, I thought it was a really high-energy performance by Chelsea. Again, changed the system. Players adapted to it well. Lukaku looked more and more comfortable as the game went on. Mason Mount was exceptional, and that midfield, that they just work and control the ball so well in midfield, but they were looking to get forwards as much as they can. Hudson-Odoi, I think that's one of the best performances I've seen him play in terms of his confidence and how direct he was. So all in all, I thought from a Chelsea perspective, it was a really sort of back-to-business performance by them.
Yep, they needed it. Let's hear from the man himself, Thomas Tuchel, speaking downstairs here at Stamford Bridge.
Thomas, when you not won in the previous four, is that exactly what you needed today?
Yeah, of course. We were working extremely hard for it, and it was a tough match, but very happy because the effort was outstanding and was a deserved win. And like you said before, it's so hard to create chances against them. But I think we were relentless and kept on believing. So it was a good team effort and excellent result, of course.
Was that the message at halftime? Keep believing and don't get frustrated.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep on going. There was no need for changes. Keep on pushing. Keep believing. Some details: where to take the risk, where not to take the risk, to not concede counterattacks, but very little information and the opposite, encouragement to keep on going.
I'm sure you were pleased with the referee's decision, but were you perhaps fortunate when Harry Kane scored just before half-time?
I didn't see it, actually. I didn't see it. Like, in life, I thought it's a goal, and then I was surprised, but I did not see it.
I'm sure you did see, because you had a fantastic view of it. Hakim Ziyech's goal. You were right behind it.
I was right behind. I had the feeling that it's a bit too high, but it dropped in the right second. Was a brilliant goal. The effort from Callum before the goal, the dribbling and switch off side in around the opposite's box, and then the overlap from Aspi. So some good things in it, and with a bit of luck and his technique, was a brilliant goal.
Very different, but also, what would you say about Thiago Silva's goal? A clever goal?
Yeah, a clever goal. I just saw it also live. I have no pictures yet, but from set piece, it's very important also against teams like this to defend solid and not concede and be always dangerous. So very happy for Thiago.
What was the importance of this victory for you today in terms of the table?
Well, you know, the table is the table. I mean, in the end, it's our responsibility to prove ourselves every second day, almost now every third day. So now we have a break, and it was important to go into this break with a victory. There's no doubt about it, because if you don't have the results, the performances that you want, there's no substitution for a win and for the feeling. You cannot produce it artificially. So we needed this, but we needed also to do things better and keep on believing. So the guys are very, very tired now, because it was a long run for us. Of course, it was very important. I don't tell you any secret when I will also tell you now that it will continue after the break.
What was your assessment of Romelu Lukaku's overall performance today?
Very good performance, very good team performance, and he was absolutely reliable and put in huge effort. We wanted normally to have the chance to have a substitution, to switch after 70, 75 minutes, but then we needed or we wanted to change the system, and Hakim was like then with cramps, so he had to go the full distance, but he was a good match.
Did his work off the ball for you counterbalance the fact he wasn't able to take a chance?
Well, it's a bit the story for our team. I have the feeling that we work really hard off the ball, and sometimes are maybe not in full confidence or in in the calm state of mind when it comes to the opponent's box. But the effort is something that we define for us as a benchmark and as a standard. So he gave everything in terms of work rate. And so we know this, and this can happen in Premier League and in matches like this, that you arrive a bit tired in front of goal.
Lastly, working up to your anniversary, 1 year in charge of Chelsea.
Yeah. Good year. Nice year.
Bit more detail?
Actually, it's not needed. I feel very good because I feel still like the first day. It's nothing has changed. I'm feeling in the exactly right place to be, and I feel an enormous amount of support, quality-wise, and from everybody in Cobham. And it's only one goal to win football games. This is what we love, and so hopefully many more years to come.
Thanks, Thomas.
Thanks.
Happy anniversary.
Not often many more years to come, though, if you're Chelsea manager, I think it's fair to say. Enjoy it while it lasts. But in all seriousness, 1 year in the job, and today was the sort of peak Tuchel, at his best, peak Chelsea.
Yeah, I thought that was a really important game, an important win for Thomas Tuchel, because it can unravel very quickly at this club with the managers. There's been a little bit of negativity and a bit of critique for this man over the last kind of few weeks. The results have dropped off a little bit. And I'm in my notes before the game, it's like, OK, if you're as good as we think you are, you've got to fix this now. We've had a few games now and the tiredness stuff and all that. Find a way. And I actually like them in a different setup, actually. Normally, it's the three at the back. It's two holding players. The front three have got to try and do everything themselves. This is different, 4-3-3. Midfield players can get forward. It's just a different look that I thought was better. And I also thought, as Graham said in commentary, it was faster. It was a different look in Chelsea. More willing to go forward quicker. Lukaku more involved, more active. Than we've seen him in recent matches. So I thought it was a lot of good stuff from the manager and Chelsea today, yeah.
Do you like this, the way Chelsea played today?
Yeah, and I thought they answered some questions. You know, we talked about Aspilicueta having the team meeting. Ziyech actually celebrated his goal, rightfully so. So he looked in a better frame of mind. Thought Lukaku played well, was the focal point. Thomas Tuchel there, praising him afterwards. Talked about the counterattack, sorted out defensively, got the clean sheet. So it felt more, I agree with you, the formation suited them. They were on the ball a lot more, had more players in midfield. It just felt like this was back to what we're used to from Tuchel and his team. Excuse me.
The general consensus has been that something was wrong. Something was just not right over the last few weeks. So tell me about a team meeting. Can a sit-down team meeting led by Aspilicueta, the club captain, where everyone sort of airs their dirty laundry, can it really just sort everything out?
Well, the thing about it is, and again, why I'm happy for Thomas Tuchel, because he's at a club that has always been player power. Players first. They have the ability to get managers sacked. We've seen that over the years. Listen, Bex, team meetings, everyone's got something to say until you sit down and everyone's in the semicircle. You start looking at people eye to eye and everyone kind of shuts up and no one says anything. So I'm sure Aspilicueta, being there, being the senior player, was able to, you know, give them some home truth.
What's your experience of team meetings?
Same. I mean, a big crisis meeting, isn't it?
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm always wanting to say something. You know, I always throw my opinion around there a little bit.
Don't think that for a second.
I don't mind them. I don't mind them. And it's not very often, Tim, is it? It's if things are really going bad. The manager's kind of like had enough of having a go at you. And I think the managers expect the player to get together and have a little bit of a chat about what's going on, yeah.
It goes hand in hand with what you said about the sort of the slightly new way or different way that Chelsea were playing today. How did you feel it suited Lukaku overall now over the 90 minutes?
Well, you know, I felt like I wanted him to score in some ways because he did put a lot of effort in. The manager's absolutely right. But those early runs in the first half that we saw is more of Lukaku. Running forward into balls is more Lukaku, not just waiting around for the ball to come into his feet when there's a defending players all around him. So I hope that Chelsea take that on, that the earlier football, faster football, more direct vertical football, as you say now, certainly would help him in the future, yeah.
Well, no former Chelsea manager has returned to Stamford Bridge and ever got a win in the Premier League, and that is still the record. Let's hear from the Tottenham boss, Antonio Conte.
Antonio, your first league defeat as Tottenham manager. What did you make of it and how it came about?
But honestly, I don't like to lose, and to comment a defeat is always difficult for me. But I think that Premier League to have nine game in a row and without defeat was was important, especially because you are Tottenham, and in this moment the gap with the other teams like Chelsea is a really, really an important gap, and the team and the squad and the game was I'm proud for the effort that my players we tried to do everything, but sometimes also when you try to do everything it's not enough, especially when you play against a thing like this that they are in the start 11 strong player on the bench, there are on the crowd there are other players. I think that now there is a big difference between us and the top team.
It could have been a big difference if Harry Kane's goal had been allowed to stand. What are your thoughts on that?
But you know very well that it's very difficult to comment, and I don't want to comment the referee decision. But then to disallow this goal in England was incredible for me. But I repeat, and the referee tried to take the best decision. Maybe I'm more upset for the yellow card to Tanganga. Yeah, because I think that this was clinical, this yellow card.
You said there is a big gap between yourself and clubs like Chelsea. You now have the January window to address that with new players coming in. How much do you need new players to close that gap? But, this window.
But I repeat, this is not the right moment, and also to speak in front of media. And the club know very well what they think and the time that we need to come this gap, because there is not one transfer market to close the gap. I think that in the last few years this gap became very very big, and now it's not simple to find the solution in a short time, and you have to know this, and for this reason I'm only focused with the player to work until the end, and then we'll see. We have four months to try to give everything, and but if we think that we solve with the transfer market the situation, and it's not the reality. You need many years, but for sure you have to start. You have to start, and there is a point of start, because in the last few years I think that the squad was the level of the squad decreased instead to improve.
You said it's not going to happen overnight, it can't all be done necessarily in one window, but for you to get as much possible out of this season, is it crucial you get at least one or maybe two in this window? Because you said before the game, you said, look, I'm happy to work with what I've got, but we've got lots of problems, we're really stretched. So how key is it you get some bodies in this window?
But in this window, and I repeat, it's not simple, because you have to sell or to send alone players. And it's difficult to do this. And then you have to try to find the right players for you. Do you think that is simple? I think no, and if you have a bit of experience, you know that this process, you can only start this process, but you have to know that you need many years, because the other teams don't stay to look at you. You want to improve, but the other teams wants to improve, and for this reason, and it won't be easy, but I repeat, and I spoke with the club, and I'm totally disposition to the club to work and to try to improve the situation on the pitch. Then the club has to take the best decision for the present, for the future, for everything. But I repeat, I'm enjoying my time in Tottenham. We have four months to work and to try to get the best possible result. And these players are working very well, and I'm proud also tonight for the effort that we made, but
And you know very well that sometimes you can push 100%, but sometimes it's not enough.
Speaking of players in and out, Dele Alli not in the squad today. If he came to you and said, look, I need to play football, can I go on loan somewhere in this window? Would you allow that? Would that have your blessing?
No, but I repeat, I don't want to comment about single players. And there is the club to make the best decision on this aspect for the players that to buy or to sell. There is also a sporting director and there is a chairman why I have to speak. And they take the last decision. It's right to speak them, not me.
Unfortunately, we don't get to speak to them, so we appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, that's a good point, actually, by Jeff Shreves. The only way that fans can hear about possible transfers is through the manager. The manager doesn't want to talk about them. He doesn't think it's right to talk about it to the media. But the fans want to know. It's frustrating because it's hard for a Tottenham fan to feel excited about life under Antonio Conte when we are 9 days away from the end of the transfer window. And even though Conte's brilliant, there's no action.
I think he said everything there. He said everything. Everything he said there, you can read between the lines.
Right, so he said everything for nothing.
Effort was great, yeah. Effort was great, you know, but sometimes you can give 100% effort and it's not enough. Sure. Talked about the gap between them and other teams. Talked about the fact that he's told the club what they need. With Antonio Conte, you're going to get the truth at your club. You're going to get the truth of what the squad looked like, what he needs in the future. It's just, you know, we assume that when he joined the club that there was some sort of assurances that we will support you at certain moments. I'm sure he realises it's not a club that's going to go crazy in the market, but he is stating it time and time again, three or four times there, that I love my team in terms of the attitude and the work ethic, but to bridge this gap that's been getting bigger, again, he said the squad has been decreasing, not increasing over the recent seasons, they need some new players.
I mean, we don't know this, but you get the feeling from what he says that he's just not getting backed.
Yeah, if this feels like watch this space, I mean, please, like, back him with transfers because this is going to get ugly if not. I mean, you think about why he didn't take the job in the first place because of the finances and not getting assurances. Then Tottenham were backed into a corner because things weren't good under Nuno. There would have been so he's going into this eyes wide open. So there would have been a second conversation like, okay, if I take this job, this is what I need. And then he's basically said it to all of us without saying it. The club know what we need. I've told them. Mm. So this, and he's pushed it all back on their plate in terms of the board. So I worry. I worry that if he doesn't get what he needs, he could be off. And this Tottenham team need that reinvestment.
Adama Traore is good, but not enough if that's all he gets.
Not enough. No. I mean, he's an interesting signing if it happens. Of course, the Wolves winger that's incredibly quick but needs help and direction in terms of end product. Not a huge fee. 20-odd million pounds or whatever, worth, I think, Spurs to have a go and see if they can get the manager to get more out of him. But, yeah, but he's right in other ways. It's a difficult window. 9 days left in the window. You know, the summer is more of a chance, I think, to get more players in for him to work and improve the team.
And Daniel Levy does like to leave it very late indeed. So we should all keep our eyes open for 9 days' time. That does it for this edition of the Premier League on NBC podcast. Be sure to check out other episodes where you'll get a collection of our most spirited in-studio debates, as well as exclusive on-site access. Plus, don't miss out on Premier League mornings, weekends at 7 a.m. Eastern on NBCSN and Peacock Premium. Bye for now.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. That's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.